choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast. I am not Amos. This is Kent without Amos. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Kent, and with me tonight is special guest Jeremy. What's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, Kent?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. Long week as usual. Lots going on. How are things with you?
Well, doing all right. What was it? It was right before Thanksgiving the last time we spoke. Had two birthdays in the family. Thanksgiving, spent way too much money on Christmas crap.
Yeah.
Had the fucking stomach flu. We go through our house twice.
Yeah. Did you guys do the Black Friday thing?
Yeah, we did it. We went out on Thanksgiving.
Ooh, you're brave.
Yeah. Got some pretty decent deals, though. I have to, you know, I've got a small herd of kids, so I kind of have to go out and shop when it's cheap.
Right, yeah. That makes sense. I'm more partial to the Cyber Mondays than the Black Fridays.
I do a little bit of both. You know, I try to, as often as I can, as allowed, I'll shop online, but, you know, sometimes, you know, like a gift I got my wife a tablet. Normally it's an $80 tablet. I got it for $30 on Black Friday.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those. And even on Cyber Monday, the same tablet was online for $40. It was like,
yeah. I hate fighting crowds. I don't like the competitiveness. I don't like punching old ladies and pushing down little kids. So
it's like a full contact shopping.
Yes, exactly. And I'm not a big shopper anyway. That's not something that I just like, hey, let's go shopping. So turn that into a competition? No, thank you. No, thanks. Not for me.
And, yeah, it is. I prefer, you know, take my time, find what I want. Not even so much. Generally, when I go shopping, I have a fairly good idea of what I want, where it's at, and get the
Yeah, exactly. That's my strategy as well. So in the midst of all the shopping and all the post-Thanksgiving craziness, did you have a chance to do anything that you would consider geeky?
Well, we talked about this. We were texting each other about the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah.
Which I probably watched 50 times.
Easily, yep.
And sit there and, you know, watched it. It was like, you know, and I can remember the first time I watched it, and I'm sitting there going, that's pretty cool. That's a little robot on a soccer ball.
Yep.
You know, and you know.
Well, the thing about the trailer to me, okay, the first impression, first of all, okay, it's a teaser trailer. It's a, hey, we're making this movie. You guys know we're making this movie. Here's a little peek at it.
Yeah,
really little peek. It's meant to just kind of get you excited about it.
Right.
And so when I watched it, you know, you and I both are lifelong Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
We absolutely love it. When I watched the trailer, the teaser trailer for the first time, I was a child again. And
yeah.
I was just amazed. Like, I couldn't even say anything. I was just like, I was getting chills up my spine. Especially when the music played, and then when I saw the Millennium Falcon, it was just like, I was in awe. I was like, oh, yes, this is amazing. And then I watched it like 3 or 4 more times right after that, in the same, you know.
Yeah.
And
I sat there and watched it, you know, and I was like, the Claymore lightsaber, I thought that was pretty wicked.
Yeah.
Then it was like, I was like, I hadn't seen any of the original cast, like, Then I seen the X-Wings. I was like, oh, shit.
Yep, yep.
Then I seen the Falcon. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I I instantly became like an 8-year-old.
Yes. Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, it was amazing. And then I hadn't actually had a single negative thought about the trailer until I started getting online, you know, just kind of looking around and seeing stuff.
Trolls that are bitching about the
trolls, the trolls, 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 trolls. Fuck you. That's all I got to say to the fucking troll. Fuck you. Nothing is perfect. Nothing is going to be your exact specification. So stop shitting on everyone else's fucking parade. Like,
I think JJ is going to do a god. For some reason, I think I've got a good feeling about this.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, I was sitting there looking. Like, one of the big things that I noticed about. I don't know if it was you or somebody else that had pointed out, like, well, the Falcon doesn't have the satellite dish on.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, well, yeah, dude, if you look at it in the corner, there's a small rectangular.
Yeah, one. Yeah, yeah. It's like the upgraded version.
I was like, dude, at the end of Return of the Jedi, the satellite was knocked off.
Yep. Thanks, Lando. Death Star. Thanks, Lando.
So it's like, yeah, I was sitting there thinking, well, obviously that would be why it's not on the fucking ship.
Yep. Well, I figured Han would order the stock part, but the Falcon is pretty old, an old model, I guess, so they must have upgraded it. So,
well, if they keep any of the history of the ship, it was cobbled together from bunches of other shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What it was Han that said, I've made a couple of modifications myself.
Right.
So yeah, it looks like he's made at least one more. Yeah, so Amos and I last week talked about the trailer, and I used that as my geeky thing of the week last week. So even though I've watched the trailer multiple times this week, I'm not going to reuse that.
the other thing I kind of geeked out about is you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
I got about I don't know 7 or 8 episodes in to the first season, and right. I got busy. I'm so behind on all my TV shows. I'm in no means current with that show.
Okay. They kind of added a little bit more touches of, you know, comic book to it this week.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say several years ago, I couldn't tell you the exact, there was an event called, not the original Secret War that we remember from the childhood, but they did another one where Nick Fury sent a bunch of people off to fight some secret war in Latveria.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway, they introduced a character in Secret War named Daisy Johnson,
mm-hmm.
whose code name is Quig. And her father is Calvin. I can't remember what the hell his last name, but he's a villain.
Is it Calvin Klein?
He goes by, no. Oh. He's Mr. Hyde in Marvel Comics.
Oh, okay.
Okay, do you remember who he was?
Not really.
Well, anyway, they introduced Daisy Johnson, but she was already an established character.
Okay.
In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you remember anything of the show, Skye was an orphan.
Okay.
That's Daisy Johnson. Because she meets her father this season.
Oh.
Who happens.
Okay. It's an interesting twist.
And they're adding some stuff about Inhumans and Kree and stuff like that, which is pretty cool because I assume you had seen the big announcement a few weeks, maybe a month or so ago, like 9 Marvel movies, and it was like Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Thor 3 and Captain America 3 and...
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Well, one of the movies announced then was The Inhumans, which is kind of being introduced in the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hmm. So I thought it was kind of cool that they're tying more of the comic book history into the cinematic universe, introducing a little bit more to it.
Yeah, well, very cool.
And it's actually a pretty fun show to watch. So
yeah, I need to get back into it. There, like I said, I'm so far behind on all my TV shows. One of these days, I'm going to get some free time. Hopefully when I retire here in...
Hey! All right, I assume there's going to be a big kegger at your place.
Oh, that's pretty much guaranteed. Are you going to fly out?
Let me know. If you give me a date, I'll fly out there for your retirement party.
Holy shit. History will be made. And this is recorded.
Yes, so this is recorded.
You can't say like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You need to get me a date as soon as possible so I can get the tickets bought and all that.
Okay. Shit. Yeah, I need to set up something with my commander soon so that I can figure out the math, because what's going to happen is, because my official retirement date is going to be the 1st of September of next year.
Right. Yeah.
But my last day of work is going to be a few months prior to that. Yeah, probably sometime in May. Because I've got a lot of leave saved up. It'll be more than 3 months worth of leave alone. And then I've got a permissive TDY for house hunting and all this other crap. And then the commander has a certain number of days that he can give if he so chooses. And I need to sit down with the commander and do the math and see what he's going to give me and all of that. And then I can establish a timeline of, this is going to be my last day of work. I want my retirement ceremony to be this day, and then I can start telling everybody like, hey, this is when it is. RSVP. Motherfuckers.
Yeah. I'll be there, man.
Okay. Awesome.
I was at your house when you left for the Air Force.
It
seems fitting. It seems fitting. I should be there when you get the fuck out of the Air Force.
Agreed. All right. Cool.
But yeah. As soon as I'll buy a fucking plane ticket. You'll have to pick my ass up. But
yep.
I'll probably have to chew on something.
Hey, we'll just treat you like B.A. Baracus. Give you a shot. Knock you out.
Yeah.
You'll wake up on the ground at the destination. Yeah. Oh, what the hell happened?
Yeah. But yeah, Nicole and I have been talking for a little while about sending me out there. I was like, yeah, he's retiring this year. I need to get my ass and fly. I mean, I could drive, but...
That takes too long.
It takes too long, and I don't know...
It's probably more expensive to drive, actually.
Yeah. If I buy the tickets, that's why I said if I can find out as far in advance that, and I'm not saying that I'm cheap, but I do have lots of kids.
Oh, no, absolutely.
The most economical way for me to get there.
Yep.
That's what I got.
Absolutely.
And Nicole and I talked about me flying out for a week or two and just fucking chilling out and drinking some beers.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Awesome. All right, so my geeky thing of the week, I still have an Atari 7800 that works.
A 7800?
A 7800, and I've got a bunch of games. My boys and I enjoy playing it together, and this week we spent several hours playing Donkey Kong.
Right on.
And it was awesome.
That's very cool.
Of course, I beat their asses in the score. But that's because I've got like 30 years experience of playing Donkey Kong. it was awesome. I love the old Atari. I love all the old systems. Atari has a special place in my heart because that's what I had when I was a little kid.
Yeah, and I remember sitting there... Spending hours like this, dude.
Yep. That's probably the geekiest thing that I found time to do this week. Something else that's pretty geeky. It's something that I've been meaning to do for probably a month and a half now. Ever since Amos mentioned it, I finally had the opportunity to watch Black Mirror.
Oh, very cool. What did you think?
Amazing. I only watched the first two episodes, but the second episode is the episode that Amos had specifically told me that I need to watch.
Right.
I don't want to get too far into it without him here because it was the homework that he assigned to me. But
he and I spoke in the last podcast that I was here.
Right, you guys talk about it, right. Yeah, I will say this, though. That show from opening scene to closing scene makes you think.
Yes, it does.
The thing that I really, really liked about the show... Well, first of all, let me say this. I watched it with my 15-year-old son, Lucas. And watching an episode and then spending 30 minutes discussing that episode. Just the conversation that is generated from the ideas in the show. It's amazing. And then we watched the second episode and the exact same thing happened. We talked for 30 minutes about the show and just the questions that come up and then, what you know,
right.
What would you do in this situation? Or do you think that was realistically portrayed? Or how do you think it would have played out? Or do you see, you know, this aspect as something that, you know, that our culture is going to? Or, you know, it's just, oh, so much conversation fodder. And this is just the first two episodes.
You watched the first episode. I don't think Amos has watched the first. I know he's watched, was it 5 Million Merits or whatever?
Whatever. I think he and I have seen the same episodes, I think.
He said he's watched the second one. I don't think he's watched the first one where the prime minister has to pig.
Yeah. Which...
Okay. Here's a question for you.
Go ahead, yeah.
What do you think the whole statement behind that, the whole episode was?
Dead air. I'm trying to do a recap in my head. I'm trying to review what happened in that episode. So basically... This will help me out. Let's just do a quick recap of the episode.
Okay.
So basically, this is the British Prime Minister as the basically is the main character of the episode.
Yes.
And the what is Princess. It called? Well, right. But what is the? It's not the White House. What are they called?
Parliament.
But it's not Parliament. It's anyway, whatever it is, Downing Street. That's what they call it. Whatever Downing Street.
Right.
Well, anyway, so his administration, basically, they received a video by some terrorists, basically, that they had kidnapped the princess. And not only it's not just a princess. This is like, you know, the princess, like the heart and soul of England, basically. Kind of like what Princess Di was to England back in the 80s.
Well... Or Prince William.
Well, right, yeah. The female version of Prince William, we'll say that. It's kind of a combination of Prince William currently and Princess Di from then.
Yeah.
The difference being that she was born the princess. It's like, you know, Princess Di was married. You know, she married Prince Charles and became the princess. Anyway, getting into the technical. But anyway.
Anyway.
She had been kidnapped. And they said that the prime minister... must do this unspeakable act on live video in front of the entire world, or they're going to kill the princess. And oh, and by the way, this wasn't a recording that was sent to Downing Street. This was on YouTube. They posted it to YouTube, so everyone in the world knew about it. They did some things to remove the video and all this other stuff, but by then, it was way too late. Thousands of people had already seen it, captured the video, reposted thousands of times. I mean, it was, you know, it's like, I forgot the analogy that I was gonna make. But anyway, it's out there. There's nothing you can do to stop it at this point. So they couldn't contain it, which was their original plan. So basically, the episode goes through the process of them trying to find the terrorists, rescued the princess, all this kind of stuff. All the while, the prime minister is wrestling with the idea that he might actually have to go through with this thing. But it basically, from his point of view, okay, he had three things that he had going on. One, he's trying to find the terrorists and rescue the princess. That's his first priority. Kind of the best case scenario there. Then the other two things are, okay, if the time expired, because they put a time, a specific time that this had to take place, so they were on the clock. The other two things were, he could either basically say, fuck you, I'm not doing it, and then they kill the princess, or he can go ahead and do it, and then, like, basically saving the princess's life by going through with this unspeakable act. And then I don't want to spoil it for anyone, you know, to see how it actually turned out, but, yeah, so what did I feel was the main, like, what were they actually trying to say with this episode? Well, the basis of the show in general is about how technology, it's like the dark side of technology, like what,
it's a Black Mirror.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What the show in general is trying to tell us is basically be careful, because technology is kind of, I don't want to say getting out of hand, but it's, if we don't guard ourselves, technology will take us to places that we don't really want to be. Giving up freedoms, giving up privacy, things like that. It's a changing world, and it could go one of two ways. Basically, it could either enhance our lives or it could like shackle us, basically. And this particular episode, I feel like one of the things that they were trying to say was that governments and, well, people in general and governments or any organization used to have a certain amount of control. If you were in power, you had a certain amount of control on information flow. And that's, to a certain extent, is still true, but not like it used to be. Now, it's like the cat gets out of the bag, and it's blown wide open. You cannot contain it anymore. That's one of the things I got from it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I got from it as well. Another thing is, after the Prime Minister does what he does to save the princess, and they find the princess out.
So we are spoiling. About. We are spoiling the episode. Okay.
Yeah. How many people are actually going? Yeah.
Screw it. We've been talking about Black Mirror for like a month and a half. If you haven't caught up, then you're bad. You're bad.
Yeah. They find the princess and find out that she was been released an hour and a half prior to the Prime Minister doing.
Yeah, actually, I think it was 30. I think it was 30 minutes. But either way, she was released before the time. Even
now, this is what I got from it. If you had noticed, there was nobody outside when the princess was released.
Right, because everyone was everybody watching.
Everybody was staring at a black mirror.
Yes. Yes.
Because, and what I got away from it is, you know, sometimes it's better to step away from technology and see what's going on in the outside world.
Yeah.
Than to have your face in one at all times.
Right. Yep. Yep. That's definitely a point that was made. Yeah. And the interesting thing, too, to me was that everyone, like, almost literally everyone, at least in England, everyone was watching this thing. And this is not something that I would say 98% of the population would not choose to watch something like this. But everyone had to see it because this is what's happening and this is what everyone's going to be talking about. So we have to see it.
Well, it's like Clerks 3. I can't look away.
I don't know, and that's, you know, another play on the words Black Mirror. I mean, just, you know, look, it forces us to look at ourselves and see the darkness, you know, within all of us. None of us, well, I say none of us, the vast, vast majority of the human population, that's what I mean by we do not want to see something like this. But if an event played out the way this was playing out, you bet your ass the majority of the population is going to view this thing.
I agree.
And I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. It's just, it's kind of disappointing, I guess. I'm disappointed in us as people.
Yeah.
But I know that that's what would happen. We would all partake. I mean, not down to the person, but the vast majority of us would partake in seeing this. I don't know.
I agree.
And it's, yeah.
Wait until you get into some of the other shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope Lucas will watch it with me, or at least someone will watch it with me, so that I can immediately
talk about it.
Yeah, because I mean, the conversation starter that those shows are is just it's extremely rich. It's so well written.
No, yeah, it is very well written. I agree with that. Season two isn't nearly as strong as season one, but they still are well written shows. But I feel season one was the stronger season.
Do you know if they're going to do a third season? Is that in the works?
I've heard that there is one in the works. Again, it'll probably be only like 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah, because the first two seasons are both 3 episodes apiece.
Yeah.
So it's just a real limited series, but it's...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Really good stuff. Good job, BBC, on those.
Yeah, BBC's actually got some very good stuff
here. They do. And that's, you know, cable television as a whole is really starting to produce some really good stuff. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of crap out there.
Crap.
But there's some of the best television ever is out right now. Yeah, which I'm so behind on my TV shows, it kind of sucks. There's so many shows I want to watch. Gotham is one that I really, really want to get into, but
The Flash is enjoyable.
Yeah, see, being the comic book nerd, yeah, I want to get into those, but I'm not really compelled like I am with Gotham.
Gotham takes some liberties.
Yeah, well, I think they probably should actually.
Well, yeah, well, like so far, Edward Nygma and Harvey Dent are already in the series.
Okay.
If you remember, at least in every telling of the Batman story, Harvey Dent is about the same age as Bruce Wayne, and so is Edward Nygma.
Well, you know, and that's whatever. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. How many versions of...
God.
I mean, I was going to say just any comic, but let's just talk Batman in particular. How many versions of the Batman story are there? Let's just talk comics. Let's not even talk about the movies and TV shows and all the other secondary stuff. Just in the comics, how many times have they retold not just the origin story, but you know, the basic history of Bruce Wayne and Batman and all that?
Dozens.
Yeah.
Dozens.
So a TV show is taking liberties with the origin story?
Yeah.
Oh no. Like that's fine. As long as the essentials are there.
The core of the, like, Martha and Thomas Wayne are still killed in the alley in front of Bruce. This time, Selina Kyle witnesses it.
Okay. And I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah. Edward Nygma is a CSI.
Okay.
And
that's interesting.
For Gotham, yeah. So, yeah, they take and you can see precursors to other villains in it. Like, there was an episode that had this precursor to Venom, not the character Venom, but the drug that Bane took.
Right, right.
You know, poison Pamela Isley.
Okay.
Her given name is Ivy. You find out that she's given up for adoption after her father was framed for the Wayne's murder. It's
So they're all right. So they're interweaving all of with the Well, that's interesting. Yeah, they're. One of these days I am going to sit down and I am going to get caught up on that, and I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, I'm a little bit pissed with Hulu Plus because I was going to sit down and watch the first couple of episodes one night. I don't know, 3 weeks ago or something like that. And I saw that they'd already taken off the first two or three episodes only had up like the most recent four episodes or something.
Right.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
Hulu, I'm already dislike Hulu because of all the ads and crap that you can't skip through. But
yeah.
The only problem with Netflix though is that you have to wait like a whole season to watch. But
yeah.
But the thing is, it's all you can eat. Once they put a season up, that season's there and you can watch the whole damn season. They don't take Well, let's just take a couple of the episodes out. Fuck you, Hulu. Anyway, sorry. Don't mean to soapbox against Hulu. It's
Better than cable. Hulu. I don't have cable. I use Netflix and Hulu as my primary source of watching television and some other means.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely, I mean, we can have, I actually want to have an episode sometime in the future about cord cutting. There's a podcast that Amos listens to and I occasionally listen to that's called Cord Killers, and it's basically all about cutting the cord of cable television.
Right.
You know, they charge a ridiculous amount for a cable subscription.
And well, you know, Oxford doesn't have a cable company anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But you can get Dish or
you can DirecTV or Dish TV, Network, but there's no cable in Oxford
anymore. Hmm. Interesting. I remember when cable first came out back in, what was it, the late 80s, early 90s or something like that? Well, when it first came to Oxford anyway.
I moved to Oxford in, October of 86, and cable was already here.
Oh, was it?
I moved in.
Okay, so maybe it was the mid-80s.
Mid-ed.
But one of the things that was I thought was weird was that the Oxford, how should we call it, religious right, dictated what channels were and were not available on cable.
Oh, yeah.
MTV was not available
in Oxford.
Because it just wasn't right. So, interesting. But yeah, I'm a big fan of, you know, I talked a little bit of crap about Hulu, but I'm a big fan of Hulu and Netflix and the you know, other services that are out there. Cable TV has got a stranglehold. Well, they are fighting a losing battle right now. The tide is shifting toward these services like Netflix and Hulu. And I sometime in the future, I'd like to have the three of us on and do an episode about cord cutting because it's a very interesting topic to me.
No, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree that it. Yeah, anything that I mean, like I said, I have six kids. Anything I can do to save money, I have to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I'll find shit on Hulu. Like the other day, I was searching through shit and seeing Quantum Leap. I haven't watched Quantum Leap in years.
Yep.
I loved that show as a kid.
Yep. It was on, I don't know if you know what AFN is, Armed Forces Network.
Yeah,
When we're overseas, it's kind of like it's basically like a free cable service for us when we're overseas. And one of the AFN channels was showing Quantum Leap a couple years ago in Germany. And Lucas really got into it. And I thought that was so cool because I was like, oh, I remember watching this when I was a kid. This is so cool.
Yeah, it's funny watching your kids get into stuff that you were into
as
a kid.
There's just something really neat about it. A little bit of nostalgia, a little bit of pride, maybe. There's all sorts of things that work there. All right, before we get too deep into just the general BSing. Not that I'm not enjoying it, but I do want to hit a topic that that I talked about last week, very briefly. But I did a little bit of research this week, so I'm not an expert at this time, but I do have some things I want to bring up. During the intro of the show, or just before the official intro of the show, I played a short clip from a JFK speech from 1962. And just prior to the clip that I played, he was talking about the challenge that he was basically issuing to not just to NASA, but to the American public, was he wanted to put humans on the moon by the end of the decade, and which we, as Americans, we succeeded in that goal. We put a man on the moon, well, two men, actually, on the 20th of July, 1969. And so we just barely, but we made the goal. Something that was kind of in the news a couple of weeks ago, but didn't make a big splash. There was other things going on, Ferguson and you know, but other topics in the news that I guess overshadowed it. President Obama issued a similar challenge to NASA. He wants to, and unfortunately I don't have an audio clip of that, but he has issued the challenge to put people on the planet Mars sometime in the 2030s. Nowhere near as ambitious as by the end of the decade, but I think it's the smart thing. If he would have said by the end of the decade, or even by the end of next decade, that's pushing it a bit, I think. We've got some technological advances we need to make. There's some technology development that's happening now. There's the Orion rocket that is a new vehicle that we're testing out. There's a lot of milestones that need to happen before we get to the point where we're actually going to put people on Mars. And but the point is, to me anyway, the point was that, you know, the space race was a huge thing, a news dominant thing in the 50s and the 60s. You know, trying to, well, it was kind of part of, but also at the same time, kind of a political way to detract from the Cold War, and then later things with Vietnam, and it was a political move, but it was also very scientific, and a lot of science went into that, and a lot of science came out of it. Space exploration. It was a big deal, and then it was kind of a big deal. The space programs were kind of a big deal in the 80s, and then we had like the Challenger disaster, and I believe it was 1986. There were some setbacks, and then public interest started to wane, and then now, we don't even have the space shuttle program anymore. The biggest thing going on right now is the stuff that's happening on the International Space Station, and we can't even put anything up there unless we ask for the Russians' help. We don't even have our own vehicles anymore that go into space. So it's kind of, space exploration has kind of gone on the back burner in the United States. But now there's it's almost like a renaissance, a reawakening of the American interest in space exploration. And that's something that I was hugely into as a kid. And it's something I've been, even as an adult, I've been kind of on the sidelines really interested in. And this is exciting news to me. We're actually doing stuff now in space. We've got goals, milestones that we're going to hit. I'm actually really excited about this. What are your thoughts, Jeremy? What do you think about this latest development?
I think it's cool that they're wanting to put somebody, people up on Mars. There is a couple other things that I was thinking. Oh yeah, I don't know exact numbers how long it would take to fly from the Earth to Mars, but however long it takes to get there and back, the psychological portion of it, mm-hmm. for the people that are going, because they're going to be in whatever craft that takes them there and back for this long a time without going nuts.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's a huge psychological factor in this.
And that's another thing that they're going to have to work on with that, you know, isolationism and all this other stuff that's going to, even if it's, you know, a four-man crew or whatever that goes up and then comes back, you know, you still have to, I don't care how long you're in a sardine can with somebody.
Yeah, well, and that's something too. One of the technological barriers to that is, you know, you can't put somebody in a little seat on top of a rocket and, you know, send them to another planet and expect them to, you know, because it's going to take, depending on the propulsion system and then the conditions at the time and all this other stuff, probably right around 6 months to get to the planet if the conditions are right and all this other stuff. That's a long damn time. To, you know, like we were describing, you know, just kind of sitting in this seat in a can next to another person that's terrible. And that's one of the things that they're trying to figure out is, you know, the crew module, what that would look like and how they're gonna, you know, because the psychological well-being of the astronauts is it's a pretty big concern.
At least that's what I would think, because, you know, cabin fever is an actual thing.
Absolutely.
And being stuck in a spacecraft going to another country.
Yeah.
I'm tired, sorry. To another planet where you can't just walk out the door and go, "Hey."
Right. Then the separation from everything that's familiar to you. You're not going to be with your family, your friends. You can't even just, you know, we all carry around smartphones now, and you just pick up your phone and, you know, look up Facebook or whatever. They won't even be able to do that. Like, they will have pretty much zero connection with the outside.
Whatever message.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever message. There's certain things that they're going to have to put in place before we go up there to relay messages back to Earth.
Right. And then
satellites or...
Right, and that's going to be very limited even still. You know, I mean, you're going to have a pretty, I would say, pretty steady contact with mission control at NASA, but, you know, messages to and from your family, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be few and far between. It's not going to be like, okay, you know, "Hey, baby, every night at 8 o'clock, I'm going to call you." You know, it's not going to work that way.
No, it won't. And, you know, you're going to even do that, you're going to have to set up some, you know, like if you set up a wireless network around your house and you have a big house and your main wireless modem is in the living room and you can't, your signal is crap in the back of the house, so you have to put a repeater.
Yeah. Well, and this is take that problem times like a million.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what's going to have to happen even to contact Earth in a timely fashion is they're going to have signal repeaters put out before we even man anything to go out there.
Yeah, and you know, and we're not even talking about a manned mission until sometime in the 2030s, probably in the late 2030s. You know, and there's a lot of talk and even a little bit of debate, and not just in NASA, but in other scientific circles and political circles, for that matter, about the specific path that we're going to take to get to that point of doing a manned mission to Mars. Some of the things that they're talking about is revisiting the moon. revisiting the moon. They're also talking about putting a person on an asteroid, which is an interesting mission concept all in itself, because they are talking about
landing something on a moving target.
Well, and they've done that robotically. I don't know if you saw that a couple weeks ago in the news.
Yeah, we talked about it at one of the podcasts I was on.
Yeah, I think I did bring it up.
I think it was on the first one I was on.
Yeah, I think it was. So we've proven that we can do that. But we're getting more ambitious now. They're talking about landing something on an asteroid and redirecting the trajectory of this massive rock floating in space so that it enters an orbit around our moon And then we want to put people on it while it's in orbit around our moon.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's some crazy stuff going on, which I'm not saying that I'm a proponent for, you know, this mission or that mission or whatever, but what I'm excited about is that there is this renewed interest and
in space.
Attention put on space, because all of these ideas, they sound so sci-fi or whatever, but to me they're very exciting because they're things that are within our grasp.
Well,
bringing an asteroid to put in orbit around our moon and then putting people on an asteroid. Are you kidding me? That's science fiction. But it's about to be science fact. Probably within our lifetime.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the whole science program in itself, you know, at least from what I know of you, kind of put you on the path where you are in the Air Force.
That's true. My first interest in the Air Force, the first I even thought about the Air Force, actually, when I was a small child, I'm not even sure how old I was, 6 or 7, maybe. You know, hey, little boy, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, a firefighter. I want to be a cowboy. I wanted to be an astronaut. I want to be an astronaut. It's I'm going to become an astronaut. Like, I was pretty certain about it. The Challenger disaster happened when I think I was in third or fourth grade.
That sounds about right, because I think I was in sixth.
Yeah, and that was kind of a setback in my sure thing path to becoming an astronaut.
You mean they go kaboom?
Yeah, right. But anyway, the point was I had all these ideas about how, okay, I was smart enough to know I can't just, like, grow up and be an astronaut. Like, there's a path that you have to follow to get to that point. And I had it all mapped out. I was going to join the Air Force, and I was going to become a test pilot, and I was going to get accepted for the astronaut program through NASA, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my end goal, for Dragonlance readers out there that know about the gnomes, my life quest, the epitome of, you know, okay, I have achieved what I have set out to achieve in my life. My life quest was to be the first man to step foot on Mars. I wanted to be the Neil Armstrong of Mars. And I had this, you know, my little, like, 10-year-old brain had this whole path mapped out for me how I'm going to achieve that. And part of that was joining the Air Force. Now, obviously, I didn't follow through with most of the things there, but I did take that first step of I am in the Air Force. So that's, you know, I'm not saying that that's the only reason I'm in the Air Force, because, you know, the little kid version of me decided that that was part of my path. But I think that's what initially planted the seed of, hey, how about the Air Force? So yeah, I mean, who knows? If I didn't want to be an astronaut when I was a little kid, maybe I wouldn't be in the Air Force right now. Who knows? But that's my first memory of actually thinking about joining the Air Force, was because I wanted to be the first man on Mars. So there's a little kit trivia for you.
But that was something I knew of already.
Yeah, right. But none of our listeners. Well, okay, maybe a couple of them, but I'd say the vast majority of the human population did not know that about me.
But I think it's cool as hell, you know, to find out what, you know, lies past Earth.
Yeah. You know, and my thing is, I want to, you know, we love Star Wars. I love Star Trek. I don't know how much of a tricky or tricker you are.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, Firefly is one of my favorite things
ever.
That's
a cool show.
You know, there's so much sci-fi stuff that I really love, and one of the things about it is the great adventure of seeing what's out there. And I love that. I love that. You know, to quote Star Trek, you know, space is the final frontier. That's just exciting to me. That's an adventure. It's got adventure written all over it. And
yep.
We are now making steps toward that. You know, way back, we put a man on the moon way back in the 60s. We haven't put a man on on the moon since like the mid 70s is the last time that we put somebody on the moon. We haven't traveled beyond near Earth orbit since the 70s. It's about freaking time that we're going to start exploring again. And that's exciting to me. It's probably not going to happen in our lifetime unless there's some giant leap of technology. The day is upon us with, you know, within the next 100 or 200 years where we're going to, you know, interstellar travel is going to be possible.
Right.
And that's to me, that's exciting. You know, maybe my grandchildren or my great grandchildren will have the opportunity to, you know, go visit other planets or, you know, travel the space lanes. You know, that's awesome to me.
Yeah, that is very cool. What I would like to see invented is time travel.
Yeah,
not so much to change anything, just to observe.
We need to do an episode on time travel too. I've got some ideas. Oh, speaking of time travel, did you see the trailer for Terminator Genesis?
Yes, I did.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited. That's another trailer that really excited me. I cannot wait to see that movie.
Yeah, it looks very cool. From what I understand of this new movie, an Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator comes back and basically raises Sarah Connor.
Yeah. And he was waiting on the first Arnold Terminator that came back. He was waiting on him and killed him basically right out of the gate. That's what I got from the trailer.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that looks so cool to me.
It looks cool, and I'm excited to see it. You know, I don't know.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to ask, did you watch the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Some of them. I didn't get too far into
if you get the chance, go back, because that's a show that gets better by the episode. Like, it just
keeps getting better. I enjoyed it. I just, it's one of those things that I hadn't had a whole lot of time to go back.
I think it made it three seasons, and the third season, like, it was actually had a goal, because the first couple of seasons just kind of seemed like, you know, like, oh, okay, oh, we're running from the Terminator still. Oh, okay, we're over here in a new city. We're running from the Terminator. But the third season really builds to a climax, and it gets to this amazing point where I can't wait till next season. No, shit.
They canceled the show. I love the first and second Terminator movies. I thought they were classics.
Yeah, Terminator 2 is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, it came out the year I graduated high school. A bunch of us went and seen it opening weekend. Then they got the third Terminator movie, which I thought was absolute shit.
Yeah, it was not their best effort.
Then what? Salvation, is that the one with Batman and Christian Bale?
I think that's it. Yep.
That one wasn't too bad. I didn't think that one was terrible.
It wasn't horrible. It was definitely better than Terminator 3.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely better than Terminator 3. And I thought it was a decent movie. I think it could have continued on from that version of it just fine. Yeah. Then Arnold's no longer the Governator, and is free to act again. So, of course, he's going to rehash his old franchise. And
yeah,
but yeah, I seen the trailer to it. I thought it looked very cool. I'm excited to see it. Hopefully, they do it right.
Yeah.
Because they're rebooting the series is basically what they're doing.
Yeah, but it's but what I like about that though is that it's building on what has already been there.
Yeah, right? They're
taking what already happened and then explaining why things are different, and I think that's really cool.
They're pulling a Marty McFly.
The Terminator, and this is pretty much inevitable. Any time travel movie is going to have a paradox, at least one paradox. And the paradox that is Terminator, of course, is Kyle Reese, John Connor paradox. John Connor sends Kyle Reese back in time to protect him, or protect his mother. Kyle Reese ends up becoming John Connor's father.
Yeah.
Only because he was sent back in time by John Connor. If you think about it too hard, you're going to get a headache.
Headache. Yeah.
That's the only problem that I have with the Terminator, but you know, whatever. It's a time travel movie. You're gonna have that. That's one of the reasons that I don't know if time travel could ever be possible, because I can't think about time travel without the creation of a paradox of some sort. So.
Oh yeah. You...
Yeah. I don't know. I can see time traveling to the future. I just don't see time traveling to the past as being.
See, if I were to go to the past, it would only be observed, because I wouldn't want to change anything.
Yeah.
About my life, because I wouldn't be who I am.
Right. We're talking butterfly effect.
Yeah. So, you know, screw, you know, I just want, like, I'd like to go back and witness the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, or, yeah, definitely. See, yeah, dinosaurs, yeah. You know.
Go check out my 11th great-grandfather's castle out when it was built, you know, shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome. All right, Jeremy, did you have anything else that you really wanted to add? We're running a little long on time. It's not surprising.
Really? I never guessed it. One of these things would learn long. Time.
Yeah. Oh, see, we are going to do a time episode. Mark that down somewhere. We're going to do one.
We'll do.
We'll talk about time and time travel and all these different theories and all
that. And procrastinating.
Yeah, well, yet another example of a time-related topic.
Indeed.
So, Jeremy, how can people follow your exploits?
You can find me at Twitter on at @JAllenDillon, and you can look me up on Facebook. How about you, Kent? Where can they find you at?
The best place to follow me would be on Twitter at @RM_DelNoche. If you're a beer guy like me, go to ratebeer.com and look up username Del Noche, and you can read about the latest beers that I've been trying. And also, you can follow our show on Twitter at Ritual Misery. If you've got ideas that you would like to hear us talk about on the show, you can go to our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can send us an email, ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com. That's where you can find the latest news about the show. You can submit some ideas or comment on what's there. Also, if you go to our Blogspot, you'll notice at the top of the screen there is an Amazon banner. If you click on the banner, it will take you to amazon.com, where you can shop like you would normally shop, and we'll get a couple of cents on each dollar that you spend on Amazon. No extra cost to you. That's a way that you can help.
But don't forget to reset your cookies on that.
That's not even an issue, I don't think, anymore.
Okay.
The thing about it is that if you do choose to support us by clicking on our banner, you're going to have to do it pretty much every time that you go to Amazon, because it's not something that's a permanent thing, unfortunately.
Right.
It expires after it's like a day or 3 days or something like that. If you click on our banner, go to Amazon, you put something in your shopping cart, you have up to 90 days to actually purchase it, and we'll still get a couple of cents off of your purchase.
Woohoo, penny!
Right. but hey, any little bit helps. We're trying to buy a domain and get some web hosting so that we can have a legit website, and we want to add a live chat room to our podcast, and we've got a lot of ideas for different things to make the podcast better. And you know, any little contribution that you can afford would be great. We're going to hopefully soon have our Patreon up and running. We've already reserved the name. It's patreon.com/ritualmisery. Go ahead and bookmark that now if you'd like. And hopefully very soon that will be up and running, and you can choose to donate a couple pennies to us there as well. If you want to hear your voice on the podcast, one thing that you can do is call us and leave a voicemail at 567 698-7672. I pretty much guarantee you that if you call that number and you leave a voicemail, your voice will be heard on the podcast. Our music comes courtesy of Kevin MacLeod. It's a royalty-free service that Kevin has provided for the masses. Thank you, Kevin, for that. Jeremy, do you have anything that you want to add before we get out of here?
Nope. Let's have a good night, man.
All right, man. Thanks for watching. It was good talking to you. Thanks for listening. Too, for Jeremy, for me, for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
I was like, what?